Mr. Frenchy, Dr. Frenchy, officially graduated yesterday. And so congratulations. He's done with that this time. I don't know if he's going to be wise enough to stay out of that now from now or what, if he's going to do something else. Anyway, congratulations, Dad's Father's Day. We need to shoot straight. How about that? In Psalms chapter 127 is where we're looking today. Jerry Seinfeld said this quite a few years ago. He said, you can tell what was the best year of your father's life. Anyone know how? He said, there's one thing that tells you what the best year of your father's life was. Does anyone know what that is? You can tell what the best year of your father's life is because they seem to freeze that clothing style and ride it out. Whatever year that was, whatever clothes, if you can find them. You know, it's kind of funny how they make those cycles. Who would have ever thought bell bottoms would have come back? Or some of this other nonsense. You know, Mary would say, look at that. And I said, honey, that was here 40 years ago. That just coming back around. We saw all that stuff. He said, that's how you know. Is that what we do? Do we wear the clothes during the best year of our life? How about this one? Little girl goes to school, and the teacher's just inquisitive, and it says, well, what does your father do? What kind of work does your father do? She said, he's a magician. And the teacher said, a magician? Said, that's interesting. What do you know what his favorite trick is? She said, yes, ma'am. He saws people in half. That's his favorite trick, when he saws them in half. So the teacher said, wow. Well, do you have any brothers and sisters? She said, yes, ma'am. One half brother and two half sisters. You never know what kids are going to say, right? In Psalms 127, it kind of lays out there where this concept comes from about how fathers have to take serious our responsibility. A Song of Solomon. It says, except Jehovah build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except Jehovah keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of toil, for so giveth unto his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of Jehovah, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And here's the key verse that we're looking at today. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. I don't know why that's all to the side. It was centered just a few minutes ago, but that's just part of it. Happy is a man that have his quiver full of them. Y'all know what a quiver is, right? They shall not be put to shame when they speak with their enemies in the gate. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children in his youth. Happy is a man that have his quiver full of them. Huh. There is a war going on. It's been going on. It's just really, really intensified right now, more than ever, on the family from every angle. You know, I've never been an archer. Some people say, well, we like to hunt with a bow to make it exciting. I just hunt it for food. You know, it's hard to eat that arrow when you can't hit anything with it. So I don't know anything about it. I picked up we didn't have compound bows. We had these, what you call them, plain ones where you bend it over and put your thing on it? What? Yeah. They make horrible blisters on your arm. So I quit with that. I said, I ain't interested in that. When I went hunting, it was to eat, get something to eat. And I really wasn't that good with a rifle, so I sure wasn't taking my chance with a bow and arrow. But I know some of the basics of it. How it works, you know, it's real tech now. You know, I think they tell me, like I said, I don't understand it, but they say that it's pretty easy to spend $1,000 on a boat. Is that correct? I don't understand that. Okay, that's beyond my comprehension. I wouldn't pay $1,000 for a rifle, but I sure wouldn't pay it for a boat. What are the chances of getting that right? You know, well, it's not good for me. But so I've talked to people over the years, but I've never shot a bow much, but I know the concept. I know how it works. Number one, you got to have a straight arrow, right? Ain't that pretty important? Can you shoot? Only God can hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. I don't think none of us can really do that, right? Try it with a golf club, even if it's a straight one. You know, if you're shooting an arrow and it's already crooked to start with, what's the chances of hitting something with it? Huh? Am I missing it? You bow and arrow guys? Who's a bow and arrow guy in here? Dave? Dave, do you shoot a bow and arrow? Would you start off with a crooked arrow? No. You said that's ridiculous. Exactly. So that's kind of what we're talking about. That whole concept is what he's talking about here, about you got an archer and you got arrows and what it takes to get the arrows right, and the arrows are the kids. That's exactly what he just said. He says, blessed is a man who has his quiver, his arrow box full of children, and the responsibility goes with that. Gloria Steinem said years ago, and it's just it's continued to out of this proportion today, and this is what she said about the family. She was a former Playboy bunny and one of the chief spokesmen for the feminist movement. And like I said, what she said then, that's kind of mild to what's going on right now, but it's the same concept. She said, I want you to listen. I'm going to give you a quotation. Marriage has existed for the benefit of men, and it is a legalized, sanctioned control of women. The end of the institution of marriage is a necessary condition for the liberation of women. Let's just do away with marriage. It is important for us to encourage women to leave their husbands. We must work to destroy marriage. The nuclear family must be replaced with a new form of family where individuals live together to meet the need of all people. There must come a new way of looking at children. Hillary Clinton was the very first one that says it takes a village. Okay? Remember what she said? You and I are not smart enough to raise our own kids. The government's supposed to do it. In what we call the school system. I mean, basically, that's what they say. Children must be seen as a responsibility of the entire society rather than the parents. Just another way of saying it takes a village. Just another way of saying that marriage as we know it is obsolete. We don't need it. Boy, is that true nowadays? What are we getting in the last couple of years? A frontal attack on the family. You know, a lot of attacks on the family kind of come in from the side, but that's a frontal attack. And all the things we're seeing going on right now is an absolute frontal attack on the family from every aspect. You think gender issues, gender change is not an attack on the family? You know, oh, it's crazy. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is a man that have his quiver full of them. But with that comes a serious responsibility. What he's saying is this. Children are like arrows, and dads are the archers. Dads are the archers. Well, hello, let me get this before it falls off. Dads are to be the mighty warriors, and children are to be the arrows in the hand of the father. Because what? There's a war going on. As we'll see when we come to the end of this thing, we need to get them ready because they're going to have to fight. I mean, we have to get them ready to fight. We can't say, well, we're just going to protect them. No, you got to get them ready to fight because the fight's going on now. When you and I are gone, they need to be ready to fight because the fight's already and it's not going to quit. The implication of it is this. When dads learn to shoot straight, the kids will be on the mark. When we handle things right, when we do everything ready from our standpoint, the kids will do exactly what God intends for them to do. And they'll be what God intends for them to be. Now, that's not 100% guarantee. I mean, you know, you can do everything right and one of them a tire is still going to run off. I understand that. But as a basic rule, if you start off with a crooked arrow, what is the chance of hitting anything? If we're not doing our position, if we're not fulfilling our position to try to do everything when it leaves the bow, that it hits the mark that we intend, then what's the chance of them making it? Not. An arrow is no more effective than the warrior who shoots it, and the bow is not much better than the man that holds it in his hand. Boy, that's a great analogy that he used. How important it was. Why? Guess what they fought with? They didn't have guns. They fought with bows and arrows and stones. We need a strong archer. You know, what's a good kill rate on one of these good bows now, Dave? 60 yards? Can you kill one that far? Can you hit him that far? Is that a 60 yards? That'd be a good kill? If you can hit him. Oh, yeah, you could kill him probably farther than that, but you got to hit him. Ain't that right? So all that same stuff's going on here. If you have an end goal that you want your children to be able to fight for the right stuff, you got a lot of work that you got to do prior to that mark being hit. You would have to be a successful family, and for good kids, the archer must be strong. I'm sorry all that stuff's running off the side. It was fine on my computer at home this morning. I don't know what's going on. There's more than casually picking up a bow and an arrow. No matter how fine the arrow and how strong the bow, it takes a lot of skill to do that. I'm glad my food don't depend every day on what I can kill with a bow and arrow. I'd starve to death. Skill. It takes a lot of practice. You know, it takes a lot of practice. The same thing. Same thing with raising kids. You know, it's not just a haphazard just show up every now and then or do something every now and then. It's a lot more than that. There must be a good aim, eh? There must be a full draw. You know what that is, when you pull it back. You know, those old bows, you know, these new bows, you pull it back and then it gets loose and it ain't so hard to hold, right? Ain't that right? The old bows, was it that way? No. You always had the pressure until you let it off. Always. And there's got to be a smooth release so it doesn't go all like this. All of those things are working together so that the kids can defend against the enemy, is what he just said. They will speak against the enemy. That's what he said in verse 5. Needless to say, it takes skill. It takes practice. It takes determination. The same is about being a good father, a good dad. To be a good man, well, to be a man at all right now is difficult. Ain't that right? I mean, we're the trash of the world right this minute, aren't we? Especially if you happen to be a Caucasian. Well, I mean, that's just the fact, right? That's where we are. So we're in a hole pretty bad right now, guys, from every aspect of that. To be a good husband is more difficult, but to be a good father, that's the most difficult of all. Why? You got all those things affecting you, not just one, not just two. You got all three of them. When the arrow misses the target, there can be a lot of reasons why. There can be some bad arrows. It may be you didn't realize it was warped just a little bit. So when you send it off, it's going out yonder somewhere. You know, you try to examine them. There may be some moving targets. There might be some unforeseen wind that all of a sudden comes across after you let it go and messes you up. All kind of things can happen. Absolutely. It does not diminish the warrior's responsibility. You're still supposed to be calculating all those things. You still, as much as you can, try to figure out what's going on here. What is this? Is this a variable? Is this a variable? Am I getting ready? Am I looking out for this? What do I need to do? Am I making sure I'm holding my breath at the right time so I won't have that going on? All those things are going on. It really only increases the responsibility of the archer if he intends for his arrow, to hit the mark that he wants it to hit. It's a serious responsibility. God has given us these children like arrows. My responsibility as a dad is to shape, sharpen, and to shoot these arrows at the enemy. We always want to just protect our kids. No, you got to prepare them for the fight. You know, there's some things, until they get ready for the fight, you have to protect them while they're growing up and while they're teaching them. You can't just dump them out there as a five-year-old to deal with some of this stuff. But you're growing them. You protect them while they're in this slot, and you're teaching them as they're growing up, so when they get to this spot, they can fight, because they're going to have to fight. And we're talking about from a spiritual standpoint. It's always there. Every father's goal in this life should be as a good husband and a good father. Timothy, he says that. As arrows in the hand of the mighty man. He's talking about what? Not physical strength. He's talking about a spiritual aspect here. That's what he's talking about in the context. He's not just talking about a physical strength. If it was just physical, some of us wouldn't make it. Why? Because we just do not have it the way some people have it. That's not what he's talking about. Because he's talking about a spiritual thing, everybody can qualify. Everybody can get what's necessary for the job to get done. So when the arrow is gone, it hits. The arrow must be straight. You know, we used to try to make our own bow and arrows as kids. Did y'all ever do that? Never worked. Number one, you couldn't find a straight stick. We couldn't buy any arrows. My heavens, we couldn't even afford a bow. We sure couldn't afford an arrow. But we'd get us some twine, and we'd take a gallberry bush that was pretty stiff, and we'd pull it down, and we'd go get some dog fennels, and you think it's straight, and it's not. Y'all know what dog fennels are? I don't know what the official name for that is, but they were long, and you could rip the stuff off of it right quick, but it was just too soft. It wouldn't work. We couldn't do anything with that. Why? Because there was nothing straight. Not that straight. Their arrows must be straight. The archer must be straight, but the arrows must be straight. Look, number one, children are not born straight. You know, they're depraved. You know, I know a lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people believe they're born little angels. No, they're not. They're born as ingrates. I mean, we have something in us called sin, and we always have that working against us from day one. So we don't start straight. You know, we start with the bend, so the Father has got to work to try to help correct that bend because they're born with it. Anybody want to disagree with that? Any of you ever raise any kids? Did you ever teach them any of those bad things? Why not? Because they know it already. That's why it comes by nature. Sticks are not arrows. Twigs are not arrows. Children are not by nature arrows. They have to be made into straight arrows if you want them to be used. You cannot shoot straight with a crooked arrow. God is the only one I know who can hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. You know, that's about the only one I know. And so your job as a dad is shaping and sharpening. Why? It takes a long time. You have to start early, as we'll see. I've just put a few things on here real quick. Most of them you already know. I'm just trying to remind us. And some of you as grandparents, you're having to do some of the job that your children are not doing. So just because you're a grandparent, Daniel, you'll know exactly. Maybe you made a mistake. And you said, well, I don't want them to make a mistake that I made, so I'm going to try to help them. So you're right in there again. And shooting the arrows that God has put in your hand, your children, your grandchildren, absolutely. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The word nurture actually means the discipline. You know, you have to discipline them. You have to. And the admonition means teaching. You have to discipline them, and you have to teach them. They don't have this. They're not just born with this. It has to be taught. Fathers, provoke not your children to be angry, lest they be discouraged. Well, we won't get to explain those a lot. The challenge of any man is not how much money he can accumulate, but whether or not his kids are spiritually sharp and emotionally straight. That is the issue. I mean, that is it. From a God's perspective, you know, if God is on our radar and we're trying to be the godly fathers and dad that we're supposed to, that's supposed to be our number one thing. That means that's what we are about. There is a time, dads, when the arrows are in your hand, but they're not going to always be in your hand. So while you have them, there's things that must be done. Because when they're gone, how will they hit the mark? Are we doing anything about that? When the arrow's in your hand, you have to take that responsibility to sharpen it, to get it right, so when it leaves, it can make the mark that God wants to make. Many of us want to give that responsibility to professionals. Oh, no, we're just going to hire somebody. We're not going to teach them how to throw the ball. We're going to go hire somebody. We're not going to teach them how to do this. We're going to just hire somebody. We're going to go make the money, and we'll be going playing golf, or we'll be doing something else. We'll let somebody else do it. We're not going to do it. Boy, that's a lot of it. You know, I get in trouble saying that. I won't say that. We'll let somebody else handle that for us. We're not going to do it. And we wonder sometimes why this thing goes, a tire runs off out there somewhere. To shoot straight, you must prepare. Here's some basic things that you already know. I know you do. We just have to be reminded. When you have a twig, you begin to shape it. When it's soft and pop. When it's young and it's growing, you can mold it some if you're going to have a chance. So a lot of times when the tire runs off at 18 and they want somebody to come in there and fix it, you go back and you look at, well, what have you been doing for the last 17 years? You think this thing happened overnight? Nobody wants to take responsibility of that. You might get this thing back or you might not. Why? Because you wasted a lot of time that you should have been doing on this thing, and you hadn't. You've been out there doing something else. And they wonder what happened. Just look back at your life and see what you've been doing with it. The Bible says what? Train up a child in a way that he should go. Please understand, This is not a commandment that absolutely says, if you train him up, he for sure will come back. That doesn't always happen. That is not an absolute. You know, you got to look at the context, the genre of what is being written here in this. You know, you have some guidelines out there, but just say, well, you know, I brought them up for 18 years, and I know they're out there now, but the Scripture says for sure they'll come back. That's not a guarantee. There's no guarantee on that whatsoever. That's not what that means. But if there's a chance, it's because you did teach them something while they were growing up, and they may run from it, and there may be a chance that they come back, but if they never had it, what are the chances of them coming back? They're less. God can still do it. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Again, that is not a commandment that's got a guarantee, like the Ten Commandments. It says, you know what, I promise you, if you honor your father and mother, your life will be longer. That's a promise. This is not a promise. That's not what the genre is here when he's saying that. Little children can be shaped and molded easily when they're young, just like a wet twig. You know, when it's young and you wet it, you can mold it and you can bend it and you can make something out of it, right? They're curious when they're young. Why, Daddy? How about that one? Why are you always asking why? You ever heard that from your dad? Were you one of those whyers? You're always asking, why this? Why this? Remember those days? Did your children do that? Why this? They want to know everything when they're little. Why? Why? That's a teaching moment. Why is that? Take their time. Turn off the television. You know, decide not to go somewhere else. When they're asking these questions, take the time to explain something to them. You say, well, they're not old enough to understand it, but they're asking a question. It's a teaching moment. That's exactly what we'll see in Deuteronomy in just a moment. Keep asking them. There's nothing wrong with asking why, ever. They can memorize easily when they're young. Y'all do know that, right? Yeah, I know this firsthand. When I was taken married, I've told this story, but it's the clearest picture of it I've ever seen in my life. Meredith was in, it wasn't even kindergarten. It was one or whatever was before kindergarten. Pre-kindergarten, all right? When I was driving her back and forth to school, she was just gone 3 hours a day for a couple of days a week. And we just started, I started teaching her books of the Bible in 2 weeks. She could quote the books of the Bible. She's not even six. She knows them this day. She could quote Genesis through Revelation quickly. Why? I just talked to her in 15 minutes going back to the church where she was going. In 2 weeks. Can you believe that? They can memorize easily. Take the time when they're young to help them start memorizing important stuff. It'll stay with them. It's amazing what'll stay with them. They trust easier when they're young. Isn't that right? The trust factor is at its highest point when they are little children. You're big, they're little, they're going to trust you more. That's when you don't have to explain as much. They're just automatically going to trust you some. That's why the Bible says that what? Adults have to become like what? Little children. To trust Jesus like children will trust an adult. That is, if there's not a crazy adult who's always lying to the kids, and then they learn not to trust them. Why? Because the parents are doing a bad job. But if you're honest with them up front, they trust you. You know, when you tell them to do something, they trust you when they're young. You're sharpening the arrows. You're putting the time in it now. Why? Because you're going to turn them loose out there somewhere before long, and they're going to have to fight. And you want them to be ready from God's perspective. They're not prideful yet. A lot of them think they know everything, but they don't. They're not quite as full of pride as they are when they're 15 or 16. Ain't that right? Because once we get old, we don't know anything, right? Ain't that right? Somebody told Frenchie and I this morning, us old people don't know anything about electronics. Ain't that right, Frenchie? And Frenchie had to remind him, listen, Hoss, we built what you're working with right now. Don't forget that, all right? What you're playing on every day, some of us built that stuff. I didn't, but, you know, our generation's built that, so we're not quite as dumb as everybody thinks we are. We just don't waste our time on some of this nonsense that you waste your time on. That's all. Wow, there's something better to do. Well, that's a good example. Take that phone away from them and teach them a few things. It's not on Google, because half of that's a lie anyway. Little children are not too proud to learn. They can take advice, and they have the innate ability to believe. God made it that way. That's why he told the Jews to do that, to be creative. Remember what he told them? Add these words, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Which I command this day shall be in thy heart, and not just in your heart, but in your head, but in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou art sitting in the house, and when you walk in. You know what he says there? Everywhere. Everywhere you're going, everything you're doing in your life, there's an opportunity for you to teach your kids. Everywhere, all the time, there's an opportunity to teach them something. And when thou risest up, be creative. Find some way. What is it? How can you teach them? What is their personality? What are they geared toward? What are they thinking about? Use that. But you got to know who they are to do that. And the only way you know who they are is spend time with them. You got to know what their personality is. You understand, they're not all the same, are they? Who in here has more than two kids? Are they the same? Absolutely not. They're not the same. They do not have the same personality. They may be spitting image to look at them, but I guarantee you the personality is not the same. It just doesn't work that way. Work to build character. That's integrity. You know what that means, right? You do your best when no one is watching you. You know, I'll use Meredith as an example. She's played on quite a few volleyball teams over the years. And she said, this is the first team. That she's going up here. She stepped into a team that's already been existed, and they've been playing together for a couple years, but they needed a backup setter, and she went up there and tried out, and she made their elite team. I don't know if she'll get to play or not. You know, there's a lot of politics that goes on in that. Y'all know how that works, right? Anyway, she said, this is the first team I've ever practiced with that when the coach wasn't looking, they didn't slack. Every other time. And the coaches are telling them, you know, we see you, especially when those girls, when the coaches are not there watching them, especially when they're doing some training, you know, strength training, the girls, they're slackers. She said, they've always been there. Integrity means you do what you're supposed to do when no one else is looking. You need to teach them that because they're not going to pick that up from anyone else. You need to do what you're supposed to do. When you compliment your kids, compliment them for character. Not just because they might have made an A or they did this job, but compliment them because who they are and what they're becoming and help them see that. Not just for the home run or something good that they did. Learn to set limits. You remember what happened whenever Samuel wrote this because Eli the priest wasn't taking responsibility for his kids. And his kids were going to come follow and be in the priesthood. He says, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. He didn't set any limits for his kids, and his kids went off out there, and God destroyed them. Why? Because they were supposed to be in a leadership position. You have to set limits. They have to know, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. There are limits to everything. He did not set the limits. And people say this, well, I don't want to set limits to my child. God only had two kids to start with. Did he set any limits? What do you tell Adam and Eve? Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. There has to be limits. And the quicker they learn that, so when they get in the public sector and someone says, no, you can't do that, they're not rebels. You know, basically what we have out there now is everybody can do whatever they want to do and there are no limits. I can destroy your property. I can go to your house and attack your house because I don't like what you're doing as a Supreme Court justice, so there are no limits. Why? Because that's how they've been raised. So as we as fathers, we have to teach them, there are limits. You can't just do what you want to do. Boy, that's wild now, isn't it? Y'all see what I'm talking about, right? Has it gone completely wild now? Everybody thinks they don't have to, they're not responsible to anybody. They just do whatever they want to do, and it's okay. And God set limits upon them. What happens if you do not set limits? It's a sign that you really don't care. Basically, that's exactly what it is. Every child needs some limits. You know, JB and I and Calvin were teaching in some of the Bible study classes this week. And one of the nights we were talking about how the Holy Spirit helps us. And we were talking about how the Holy Spirit helps us be nice to our brothers and sisters when they're really not nice. And one little girl just said, well, I'm mean to my brother. And I said, why? Why were you mean to your little brother? And she didn't answer me. Someone needs a teacher. She don't have a right to be mean to her little brother. Number one, she's bigger than he is. That shows you right there. Somebody in that house ain't setting any limits. She didn't say, well, I'm not supposed to. She said, well, I'm mean to my little brother. And so I just said, do you want him to be mean to you? And I let it go at that. She didn't answer. No limits. Why do they think they can just do anything they want to? Nobody sets any limits. Give them responsibilities. Teach them one that the greatest thing that they could ever accomplish is to be responsible. Boy, that's another rare thing, isn't it? Be responsible. What do you mean? It goes with integrity. Give them regular work assignment. They don't need so many freebies. Let them earn something. How about that one? That's a new concept, isn't it? You know what? We never got, what do they call these things you give kids every week if they do good? Allowance. I'm not saying that's bad. We never got allowances. We just ate. That was our allowance. We got to eat three times a day. I never in my life got an allowance. You know, the only money I ever remember getting is when I went and helped other people pick tobacco. I had my own money. But as far as them just say, well, you know what? You fed the pigs this week, so you get this. No, I got to eat some pig. That was my allowance. There weren't any freebies. Now people, okay, I don't get in trouble there. Most of us have no idea what our child can do because we don't challenge them. We don't push them to the limit. We don't say, you know, you can do better than that, and try to encourage them, you know, not be mean and ugly. But a lot of times, you know, did you realize a child that's not even 5 years old can memorize all the books of the Bible in just a few weeks? Challenge them to it. Encourage them. Did I ever make her feel like she had to do it? And I said, one day I just said, Meredith, why don't we start memorizing the books of the Bible? So we'd Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Then another day, Genesis had to forget its number, Deuteronomy. Then in the 3 weeks, she had them all down. Run on Matthew, run on through Revelation, and could say them in less than a minute. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, number, Deuteronomy. I mean, just as fast as you can go. Why? When she wants to look up something in the Bible now, she don't have to worry about where it is. She just goes through the list, boom, there it is. Still, teach them there's a link between success and work. How about that one? Boy, that's a foreign concept, isn't it? As you shake them, laugh with them. How about that one? Let your home be filled with laughter. What does the scripture say? It ought to be a place where your children like to bring their friends. Isn't that something? Isn't that a great compliment? Why? Because you have a good time. They understand their limits, but they have a good time. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. They need to see you laugh. They need to see you laugh. You know, sometimes Debbie and Meredith remind me that a lot of people think I'm also serious here on Sunday, but they don't know how much I laugh at home. You know, I laugh a lot. I talk to myself all the time, and I laugh at myself, and she sees me laughing all the time. I don't laugh so much. I don't laugh all the time up here because it's not always a laughing thing to do. It's pretty serious, but she sees me laugh all the time. They need to see God working in your life. That's a big one. Fathers, your kids need to see that God's doing something in your life. How do you handle this situation when you're not at church? How do they see you handle this person over there at work? How do they see this? What do they see going on in your life? They're seeing it. We have to quit. The home is the classroom. Boy, ain't that true? That's where the learning goes on. They're going to see God in your worship. They're going to see how you handle things when things are not going so well. Pray for them. Cover them up with prayer. If you're the archer and the children are the arrows, the bow is prayer. That's what sends them forth. The aim must be good. Where do you want your kids to be 10 years from now spiritually? Where do you want them to be 20 years from now spiritually? Is that your goal? Do you have any time left, or is that too late now? Maybe you can invest it in your grandkids. Where would you like them to be? Can you do something to help? If you've got a good archer and you've got a good arrow, you still need a good aim. What are you pointing them toward? Well, you know, where do you want them to be? What are you doing so whenever you turn them loose out there, are they ready to fight the enemy? You've got to have a goal, because arrows, what's the purpose of an arrow? You're going to shoot it at something, right? Or why would you even be doing it? You say, well, I'm just shooting a target, but you still have a target. It might not be an animal, but you still want to hit the bullseye. You do have a target, right? They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. There's the target. We want to raise them so that they can defend themselves against the enemy, because the enemy is already here. And if they're not prepared, he's just going to get them quicker. They won't have a chance to fight. It's a serious responsibility. But we're in a fight, and we're going to be in a fight, and they're going to be in a fight when you and I are gone until Jesus comes back. Dads, it's a serious responsibility. You say, well, man, I just made a lot of mistakes. Just go back to them and say, man, I'm sorry. I messed that up. I want to help you. And maybe I mess it up with you. Can I help you with your grandkids? Help it with some community kids. Somebody can use it. There's how many places in this county we're in where there's no dad in the family? Period. If they even know who their dad is, how often do they see them? You know, there's plenty of opportunities for us to try to do that. Because we're in a war. And the attack is on the family. And a lot of it can be fought if we try to help prepare our kids. Because the next generation coming behind them, behind our kids, they need somebody to stand up and say, wait a minute, that ain't right. How do you know? Because my mom and daddy taught me that ain't right. I know that ain't where you go, because I've dug it out, and they showed me where to find the truth, and I know this is it. You're saying all this, but that's a lie. That's not true. That's what we mean by the enemy in the gate. Let's bow for prayer, all right? Lord, thank you for giving us fathers. What a responsibility. Mothers as well. But fathers, just remind all of us in here, whatever we can do to help our kids or our grandkids or our great-grandkids, that you would arrest our attention to see how serious it is, and we'd be willing to invest that time so that they can withstand the enemy for the generations to come. In Jesus' name, amen.